Hi, team. This episode of the SWTOR Escape podcast is brought to you by Alea Iacta Est. For information on joining our gaming community, please visit aie-guild.org.
Hi, team. Welcome to the Escape podcast for Star Wars The Old Republic. This episode, we're joined by a guildie to talk about what we've been doing, give out a few Galactic Starfighter tips, talk about 2 years for SWTOR and AIE in SWTOR, and maybe you'll learn why Life Day is like a happy version of the Rakul pandemic. As usual, we have a shiny new astromech standing by to record this and get tossed like a snowball across the galaxy to get this broadcast. Happy Life Day, EPC 18. What? For Life Day, you want to not be in an escape pod drifting through the galaxy? Sorry, we're all out of that. So here, I got you this snowball. Hi, Seema. How's it going? Max. What have you been up to?
Oh, it's going great. This last week has been the week of all events, starting with on Friday night, we had our 2-year anniversary party for the guild, which was a lot of fun. Pellel, our guild leader, did a white elephant kind of exercise. And so he was giving out gifts, but you could steal someone else's gift. And it was really, really a lot of fun. Plus, of course, we were throwing snowballs at each other the whole time. I do love me some snow bombs. So I've been throwing snowballs all week. I just, as simple a little mechanic as that is, I've really enjoyed doing that. I also broke down and bought the Life Day pack from the cartel market, which I did not do last year.
Oh, yeah.
And so I can have the holo tree whenever I feel like it. So I'm happy about that. On our Wednesday night 16 man group, we played in the Gree event and did Xeno Analyst 2 on hard mode and on story. So we got a lot of the Gray Helix components. So that's good. Everybody who wants to can probably get a vehicle now. So that was awesome, I thought. We also whacked those world bosses in the head. So I'm kind of getting a little bit more focused on achievements these days. I'm starting to. So now I notice that I've killed those world bosses twice and I need, you know, 8 more to get the achievement for killing 10, which will take me a while. But that's because earlier Gree events didn't count towards this achievement. So I have killed them more than 2 times. There is that. I even went to Alderaan and started killing Aredas for that Gree achievement where you have the miniature Gray Secant out and you kill so many of each type of mob in like 4 or 5 different planets. So yeah.
I didn't even know that existed.
Yeah.
That's a good one.
Yeah. And then in regular ops on our Lords of Light team, we went into Dread Fortress and Dread Palace, had some fun in there. And then we did a round of comm runs. So we quickly went through Eternity Vault, Terra from Beyond, and that's it, right? Did we do another one?
Scum and Villainy.
Oh, yeah. Scum and Villainy. A quick Scum and Villainy. That's funny. But yeah, that was pretty much my week. How about you, Max?
Well, before I go, the architect of that crazy Ops Night fun, Dread Fortress, Dead Palace, EV, Scum and Villainy, and Terra from Beyond, all of that is our guest this week. So who we've got to join us this week, and specifically to talk about Galactic Starfighter more than anything else, but is Makia. So Makia is an officer in AIE. He's the ops leader of one of our main top op teams, Lords of Light, that Seema and I are also on. And yes, Makia and I have been playing quite a bit of Starfighter. So, hey, Makia, how are you? What have you been up to?
Okay, I'm all right. Everything that Seema just did this week, except for the Lords of Light thing, I did not do. None of that. Instead, I went and played a lot. If I wasn't doing Lords of Light, I was doing Galactic Starfighter.
Yes.
Except Seema did talk me into getting the silly sleigh, and I wound up getting the silly sleigh. But she told me it had jingle bells on it when you mount up. Lies.
It does. I don't know why people can't hear it, but you know, I can even hear it on other people's mounts.
But yeah, besides running Lords of Light, that little raggedy tag bunch of people and the two Canadians, it's been pretty much Galactic Starfighter. I mean, I can't get enough.
Are you saying the Canadians are not raggedy tag? Because
You know what? I give the Canadians a hard enough time as it is. I got to come a break here and there. Besides, I don't want no hate email from Apples.
We would never get it from Apples. Anyway, yes, Maki has been playing a ton of Galactic Starfighter. And this I know because I've been in there with him when we've had Wags and a few other people rotating in and out, like Moshi and Spherix and Haruk and a few others.
Yeah, Maki is an instigator.
I have to drag you in there kicking and screaming.
Yeah.
Well, just only when it's like on the sixth hour of the evening of Galactic Starfighter.
You know what? You always got an excuse.
One more. So I know you and Wags already hit this, but I did hit 1K medals this week. And I'm only one unlock from mastering both my main and secondary weapons on the Flashfire. I still have a couple of the other primaries that I need to unlock for Scout Mastery. But Wags, I know, got Scout Mastery this week. So everybody's been doing a lot of Galactic Starfighter. Yep.
He's a cheater.
I did like the Wednesday double one shot on Xeno 16 man. We just had a couple people hadn't been in there before, but we were able to knock it out. I did like our Dread Fortress, Dread Palace, EV, TFB, Scum and Villainy, do the weeklies, get through it. That was fun. It was two nights that we did that across, but we rode roughshod on all of those this week. And I did get the Slay Mounts on, and I think all of my characters.
That's a lot of snowballs.
I mean, I've got some level ones that I didn't do it on. And I think there might be one character left that's a lower level that I didn't get it yet on. But I think I have enough parcels still to get it on that one, too. I was on a couple work conference calls and just throwing snowballs over and over for a couple hours multiple times this week.
So, wait a minute. You do all those snowballs, but I have to drag you into Galactic Starfighter and you cry about the 6 hour. But you're out there throwing snowballs.
Hey, we were doing good in Galactic Starfighter, and we'll talk about that more this week with some of our tips that we're coming up with for this week. But I have been having a ton of fun in Galactic Starfighter. And I did also have fun in our anniversary party on Friday. That went really well. That was fun. Took some pictures, put them on Twitter for the people that could be there. So that was pretty cool.
Yeah, I can't complain. I got, what was that, the silly chamber? I finally got that chamber.
Oh, you got, oh, yeah. That's right.
The meditation chamber.
Yeah, the meditation chamber. Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, there were some awesome prizes.
Yeah, there were some awesome prizes. Yeah.
We do have a little bit of news this week. Not a lot of news, but our news relates to this, of course.
I am altering the deal. Pray I don't alter it any further.
So the one thing I wanted to touch on was our little bit of sad news about the altered deal of who's going to be running our community team at BioWare. Amber Green, it turns out, is leaving the community team to take a role in BioWare as a live producer behind the scenes. So we're not going to get her writing our patch notes and coming to the community cantina events across the cities. So we're going to miss Amber.
Yeah, we really will. I hope whoever writes patch notes in the future, I mean, I don't know if she wrote all of them, but I hope they keep up the humorous streak. I always like that.
She mentioned that in her blog post. So they each did a mini blog post in one post in the forums of their own wrap up for the year. And she mentioned putting that humor to work in the live producing because she did get a kick out of that. So we will miss her, but I'm sure she'll be doing good stuff for us behind the scenes. I wonder if they're going to fill that role in. I don't know. I haven't heard any announcements yet.
Yeah, I have no idea.
So for this week, we did want to touch on Galactic Starfighter tips.
Admiral Rankin to all ships. This repair outpost is critical to our operations in this region. It must not fall into enemy hands.
That's not the one I wanted to play. I wanted to play this one.
Do a barrel roll!
Yeah, so as Maki said earlier, tip number one, never do a barrel roll.
Especially in the Mesa and the B objective.
Yes. Yeah, especially in the midst of a whole bunch of girders and posts and rocks.
So
our tips for this week are all about companions. We're going to go through just a couple quick ones. We're going to do this quick segment. We're going to try to do it every week. But you do have companions in your hangar. So one of the tabs across the top is about your crew. Your crew is made up of some new companions that come with Galactic Starfighter only, and your existing companions, and they're different on each side, of course, Imperial versus Republic. There's four positions that you're filling, and then you get to pick one of those four positions to act as your co-pilot. Your co-pilot gives the one active ability that defaults to your number four key in your loadout. The other three positions and that co-pilot have two passive abilities each. So what we're going to talk about just for our couple tips is why you need to sort of take a look at that and figure it out and deal with that. So number one is picking the crew and who you're going to have in your crew slots is really dependent on a couple things, your play style and the loadout of your ships, your weapons, the types of missiles that you're choosing, why you're choosing those weapons. And that mix of crew may change even as you level up your components. So we were looking at this, weren't we, Machia? Especially for
cluster missiles. Yeah, we were looking at this. Well, like I said, you know, I went on that Pike, and because I have proton torpedoes and I use cluster missiles, I switched out my companions, and I can't remember which companion I switched out to, but I got the rapid reload and I got the extra ammo. Mm-hmm. And I tried that since I was using a bunch of missiles. Well, I don't like that play style. It just does not work for me. So then I went after that match, and I think I got like 3 kills that match. I was just, the missile thing didn't work for me. So I switched out my companions and I went with Quise and Fess as my co-pilot and my offensive guy. And he has the passive bonuses of you get 6% accuracy and you get a 2% firing arc. So I get a 12% accuracy and a 4% arc. And I use my main weapon, and I wind up with 10 kills the next round. I just like using the main weapon, the blasters, more than I like the missile stuff.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it makes a difference. But if I kept that same, the thing of it is, if I kept the same crew and just said, you know what, I'm not going to use my missiles, I'm going to use my, you know, blasters, I would have had just as rough time because I didn't have the accuracy or the firing arc.
Exactly. Now, I play a lot on the staying in the flash fire, and I do use cluster missiles quite a bit. So I was ignoring ammo. I do rapid reload because I want to be able to sling that next missile as quickly as I can. But one of the things that we were talking about is I finally unlocked the last tier, the sixth tier bonus on my cluster missiles, and you get to choose. And what I was choosing was the double missile. So you fire two missiles at once. The second missile does 30% of the damage, but it cuts your effective ammo in half. So on the previous tier, I chose the talent that gives you +4 to your ammo. And when I did that, I was doing other crew leading up to that point, but I switched over. I forgot who I picked, but I picked one of them. And there's multiple companions that usually give each passive, but the one that gives increased ammo, because then I've got the ammo bonus. I got my ammo back close to the original 20. I think you end up at about 14 or 15, but I wasn't running out of ammo in the middle of fights because, of course, I never die. So,
right.
So I had to change even as I leveled up that single component, which I thought was interesting.
Well, you see, and that's just like, okay, you know, like we play with the flash fire and the sting. And you remember the other night we were playing and that guy was hitting us with that sabotage probe. And for anybody that doesn't know what sabotage probe does, is it locks on just like a missile, except it drops a probe on your ship and it makes you fly straight. You can't move, you can't burst, you can't nothing. You're just kind of just going one straight line. Now, if I was to switch to sabotage probe tonight, or sabotage probe tonight, I couldn't use Quise and Fess. He's a waste of my skills because I don't need the accuracy. I don't need the firing arc because you're going a straight line. So now I need something else. I need to improve my blasters and I need to improve my rapid reload because I want to get you down before that probe goes off of you.
Exactly. So then you add in burst capabilities to increase your damage output.
Even making one little change, you have to change out companions. If you're just, you need to look at what you're about to change and then think about what you're about to change and go to your crew and say, okay, do I need to switch out some people?
Yep. So that's really the basis of it. The only other point I had was usually the way I go about doing it is I pick the co-pilot first because I'm looking for what that active ability is that I want. And then you have three other crew members that you're picking, and then you're only looking at the passes for each of those other three. So what are your favorite companions that you end up using right now, Makia?
Well, right now on the pub side, I use Quizon Fess, but on the imp side, it's supposed to be Jaysa Williams is supposed to be have the same abilities, but for some reason you can't unlock her. Only the Sith Warriors get her. I don't know why BioWare did it like that, but they did. But everybody can unlock Quizon on the Republic side. So on the imp side, I have to go with Gull.
Right.
And he gives me rapid reload and the pinpointing, which is he gives me 6% accuracy. But he gives me the rapid reload. So that was as close as I could get. And I think Kim Vall is the other option if I want the improved fire arc. But he gives me the extra ammo. So it's like, okay, extra ammo, fire arc, that's more of a missile thing. So I went with the accuracy since I like to use the blaster. So
yeah,
even there I had to make a decision.
I don't know if that's by design or a mistake so far. But I'd even double-checked before we started recording tonight. That
yeah, I did too.
Quizon has concentrated fire, improved kill zone, and pinpointing. And none of the companions on the Imperial side have that mix of skills. So
is there a mix on the imp side that doesn't occur on the pub side?
Not that I could find.
Yeah, I don't know. I didn't exhaustively look at it. I just thought it was interesting that there was some sort of difference.
It is interesting.
I would think, especially if it turned out to be a good combination, that could be upsetting to some people at some point. Because you want that perfect balance, basically. You don't want to say, oh, well, pub side has an advantage because they can use Quizon and Imperials can't.
Well, now, I still do fine with Gulp. I mean,
right.
It's not like I'm hurting, but it is a little bit. I have to play it just a tad bit differently, though. Just a little.
Now, I use HK, I think, on both sides. Because I like the concentrated fire, which is the DPS ability, my active ability. And then he has improved kill zone and rapid reload. And since I'm pretty cluster missile based, in addition to blasters and concentrated fire mixed with those two tends to work well. Another one I wanted to call out, which I always add to every gunship, and I'm starting to add to most of my ships because I is Treak. So Treak is the...
I do too.
Engineering. Isn't it engineering? I think it's
no,
engineering.
No, it's a tactical.
Okay, so Treek's one of the tactical companions. Tactical is mostly just sensor changes to sensors. And you can have sensor range, you can have sensor radius, and you can have sensor dampening. And sensor dampening right now seems to be, to me, to be one of the most effective abilities with the way people are playing right now. Yeah. I think that may change because I think we may... As tactics develop and team tactics start expanding, sensor radius and sensor range, communications range is going to potentially become important. But I really dampening right now.
See, and that's another good point. If you go on the Galactic Starfighter and you're like, I could care less about trying to chase people and kill ships. What I want to do is I just want to go from control point to control point and just blow up turrets and try to take control points. Then you're going to want the sensor dampening.
Yep. So people can't see it coming.
Right.
Gunships have to have it. Any gunship that doesn't have sensor dampening is hamstringing themselves because people can see them off in the distance then. And we do this before every match. We look at the loadout of which ship everyone's using and we call out in vent, oh, XYZ person's running a gunship tonight. You know, remember these three names and those are the people that we're going to go after.
Now, after a while, you start knowing the guys who are going to run in the gunships. You don't even have to look at the loadout.
Right. And I think those people, I've seen a couple of people start switching ships. You get too harassed in a gunship and you're going to want to switch ships out.
Yeah. We harass gunships.
we do.
That should be your team name now.
We harass gunships. Yep.
Gunship harassment.
But you know what? But you have to harass the gunships. I mean, even if you just chase one, as long as he's moving, he can't fire.
Right. Otherwise, they can really wipe out your team.
Yeah, they can. They are out. Devastating if they can just sit there and just do their thing.
They can two-shot any scout. They can, especially the upgraded ones. They can, they can be devastating if you do not put that pressure on. So yeah. All right. Anything else on our little Galactic Starfighter little segment, Machia?
Take out gunships. You know what? I can't stress that enough. I played a match before we even started the podcast, and there was 4 gunships out there, and nobody was taking them. I was trying to take them all out, and of course, you know, they're covering each other, and I'm like, guys, what are you doing?
Although, as I've said in some of our matches, if the rest of the team doesn't do what they're supposed to, 4 gunships will not cap. So, you know,
well,
sitting off,
too.
You know, 14K off the satellites. They won't get the objective points and they won't cap the satellites and they'll lose. So they'll get tons of kills, which is annoying because you're blowing up all the time, but they won't win those matches.
You know what? Since we got the preferred and the free to play people fixing to come out, I guess I would tell them, you know what? Start doing your research now and pick a ship, decide on a ship and just play that ship and mess with the loadouts, mess with the components, mess with your crew. Just keep going in and out of those matches until you find the setup that you like.
Yep. And sync your points into a ship early. You'll have a little bit better experience. Maybe try each of them out, but then try to narrow it down more quickly. I've been having a good experience doing that too, narrowing down.
Yeah. And don't go by any of the guides. I see some guides that say gunships are the easiest to play. I see some that say scouts are the easiest. I see some that say scouts the hardest. It's all what you want to play, how you want to play it.
Right. Yeah, your own style, your own feel for the ship, and have fun with it. What feels the most fun?
Yeah, what feels the most fun?
What thing? Imagine that tip. our number one tip: have fun. No.
Yeah, have fun. No. And you're gonna die a lot.
But remember, if you die, you can always.
We'll fight another day.
Yeah.
Listening to you guys talk about this, it's so layered and there's so much stuff and different directions you can go, and the whole thing is so cool. I keep thinking of how the BioWare people must have had the hardest time keeping this under their hats for as long as they did.
It has to be, because it goes far beyond what I expected.
Oh,
and
yeah,
how could they, you, for so long they kept, you know, big grins every time they would say the super secret space project.
Yeah.
And now we would know why.
And we would go, yeah.
Yeah, blah, blah. Well, you know, don't get your hopes up.
It's just like, you know, when me and Wags and Max all fly together, we all fly pretty much the same ship. But I can tell you that our crew loadouts are probably different. Our components, some of them might be the same, but some of them are going to be different. But we're all flying the same ships and we're all getting the same results. So it's not like what I love about it is there's not one ship out there that just dominates all the other ships.
No,
and there's
not
one particular crew or build or components that just dominates everybody.
Yeah. So yeah, you're right, Seema. It's layered.
It's got layers
like an onion.
You just have to work through the layers. And once you start getting through those layers, it just all starts to become easy.
So I think Galactic Starfighter was a highlight for this previous year, which leads us to our next segment that I will let Treek introduce, who is also a highlight from this previous year. Mm-hmm. Is that all?
She's so concise.
I so disagree with her.
I disagree with everything you just said. Of course you do, Mike.
Headed her out.
So, 2-year anniversary. 2 years for SWTOR and 2 years for AIE in SWTOR, which I think is awesome. So,
me too.
To kick it off, we did a little started a thread and said, and asked our guildies, hey, what were your favorite things of SWTOR, mostly in the past year, but in the past 2 years, and looking back just for AIE in 2013 and before, what have your favorite things been in sort of this 2-year anniversary discussion? So I'll run through a couple of quick ones of those, but then we'll go around and talk about our favorites too. So a couple of the top ones for SWTOR in general, people like Treek. I know we talk a lot about Treek, so maybe it's you know, that fits with us promoting Treak. But Treak as a piece of content was interesting to people. Lost Island, the Flashpoint, when it was still hard, that came up. I thought that was interesting. The top mentioned ops were Terror from Beyond, Dread Palace, which I know we'll talk about, and Explosive Conflict, which I think are all awesome. The HK quest line, and HK as a companion. The Rise of the Hutt Cartel expansion, of course. And a couple people mentioned the achievement system, which I thought was interesting. And then we'll also, of course, talk about Galactic Starfighter. And then for AIE, our guild, we had some very cool stuff, especially in this past year. We had the Amazing Race as a guild event, and I think we've got a couple podcasts where we describe that in detail. We're doing our 16-man content, which is sort of fun pickup within the guild of get 16 people together and do it. A couple of people called that out, which I think was awesome. And every once in a while, we have a party, and we give away prizes, and we did one on Friday for the anniversary party, which I think is awesome, too. So, 2-year anniversary. Makia, what was your favorite stuff for the past year?
I'm going to have to put number one is Galactic Starfighter.
Yeah. No surprise.
There's a shocker.
That has been awesome. Because you know what? You can ask Seema. When I first started playing Galactic Starfighter, I was just ready to quit it. I was like, this sucks. I hate this. This is dumb. But once I remember having this almost exact same conversation with my brother, because both my brothers play first-person shooters. And that's a whole nother story I have to tell you about some other time. But I remember having the same thing when I would play first-person shooters. I'd be like, oh, this sucks. I'm always dying all the time. You know, God, everybody just kills me, blah, 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 blah. And when I was telling that to Seema, then I started thinking, wait a minute, I need to put on a different hat. I put on the first-person shooter hat, and everything went just marvelous. So that was my Soul Tour 2013 thing. And I like Treak, too. Lost Island, Flashpoint, I don't know what those people are talking about. I did that once, and that was the only time I did that. Those people are on crack or something. My favorite op is still I like Dread Fortress. I think Dread Fortress it's got the nice balance of there's not too many trash mobs, and it seems like it's quick to get through. It doesn't. You just seem to be at the last boss, and you're like, already?
That's true. I do like Dread Fortress.
Scum and Villainy has too much trash.
Yeah, and it really does.
Yeah, and it's tricky. Some of it's tricky trash, like those pools that are in that little village area.
In that trade market area, which is, that's some of the toughest trash pulls in the game.
Yeah, and then for my AIE thing, I would have to say that party we just threw last week. Mm-hmm. And the main reason I say that is because everything else we have to, you know, help run it or help support it or whatever. And, you know, we can't get any of the prizes. We can't get any of the loot. Can't, you know, we
had a meditation chamber.
But yeah, so once, you know, as officers, we got to take part in the event, not have to actually run it and coordinate it. We were actually like one of the members for once.
That was our Christmas gift from Pell. Thank you, Pell.
Yeah, I did like that too. And that's a good point. I'll give you that one.
Okay, so what's your Seema?
Well, one of my favorite things this year, surprise, surprise, Treak. I think that's probably obvious to everyone. Ops-wise, I really like Dread Palace. I mean, I've gotten to a point where I feel like even though you do all the trash in the beginning and there's not that much trash after that, I still feel like Dread Palace is a little bit too much trash for me to slog through. But I love all the boss fights. I particularly like the past and future boss. But I just love all the boss fights in Dread Palace. I like Dread Fortress too. I think they're both. I think they were both a great addition to the ops lineup. I still look back at Eternity Vault with fondness, even though we ran that place hundreds of times. I never stopped liking it. And when we went back in it recently, it was fun to revisit it. And my favorite all time bad guy is Kilran, Moff Kilran in Essilis. In that very first instance that you run, I just thought he was so sort of slick and still kind of evilly, and I really thought he was very well done. And then my favorite guild event was when we did the Actually, I wish we should do this again. We did a pancake contest on Hoth, and basically what the contest was we went to an ice bridge on Hoth, and then Pell-El jumped off, and then we had to jump off and try to land near him, and we got points for how close we land. Of course, you know, you die when you land, but you would look down, there'd be all these dead, you know, corpses lying about, but the whole point of it was try to aim your trajectory so that you would die the closest to Pell, which was a lot of fun. That was actually back in 2012, so we could do that again.
We could.
And of course, I was blown away by the Amazing Race, all the work that went into that, and that was very creative, and Pell says he's looking forward to doing that again, so yay for that.
Yes, there's some plans for that coming up, which I think is going to be interesting.
Wait a minute, I didn't know I had to pick a favorite bad guy.
that was in my favorite content.
No. Where's that in the show notes? I don't see that.
Do you have a favorite bad guy?
No.
I think mine...
You didn't give me time to think of one.
The other thing about Kilran is he doesn't say the same thing over and over and over again until you want him to just shut up.
Right.
That's true.
Oh, that's true. Where was I saying that just the other day? That they need to give... They need to give all the bosses just like one or two more lines to rotate
through. That droid guy.
Yeah, the droid guy in Fortress.
Commander, what's his name? Yeah.
Zero or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, Corruptor Zero.
You have a right to
Corruptor Zero. There you go.
My masters love to hear you scream. And they still love to hear you scream. And I'll tell you one more time, they love to hear you scream. So yes, you are right. Kilran is awesome. Soa, if you think about Soa, how he talks to you through the whole instance, and each thing you come to, he like tells you more of his story. And I think he does a pretty good job. Although at the end, he's just like that big dude with the googly eyes, which makes
actually.
Him a little less
terrifying. That is actually one of the awesome things about Attorney of Vault is that fight right there. I mean, I understand in the very beginning it was kind of buggy, but I missed out on that part. So I thought that was a great fight.
I do have a favorite bad guy.
Who's that?
It's the Dreadmasters.
They are pretty creepy. I like them.
I mean, you know, when you first meet them on Belsavis, you never think that, you know, 2 years later you're still going to be dealing with them.
Yeah.
Even now, our ships prepare to launch and deliver our devices to other worlds. Dromund Kaas, Nar Shaddaa, and Coruscant.
And they always have the best lines.
They did. Hey, all the voices were really good. Yeah. Let's see. My favorites this year were Galactic Starfighter. I was blown away because it exceeded my expectations. And I said that going into it, didn't I? Seema, how many weeks did I say? As long as you keep your expectations right and let them exceed them, you'll be happy, which is what I did, and it worked. I liked the HK questline. My favorite part specifically, the reason why I say I liked it, is the Theoretica. That's the ship you go into, sort of the ghost ship where everybody's dead, and you scope out the little data pads and you figure out what happened and figure out the puzzle. I thought that was brilliant, and they should do more of that.
Yeah, that I like that
scary.
Too.
It's scary. It scared me. It made me cry. I like macro binoculars, but only, I don't want to say only. Everything else about macro binoculars is fine, blah, blah, blah. But specifically in the macro binocular questline, again, where you have those couple mini instances and you go in and you have to use the macro binoculars to sort of solve how to get through the little steps inside the solo instance.
Yeah, those were fun. I agree.
I would love more of those in the game. There's a class of quest in Secret World like that that are called investigation missions that are close along those lines. And there's a lot of them in Secret World. But yeah, I would be definitely up for more of those. And then on the AIE front, yeah, I'd agree on Amazing Race. So I think it was long. It was a lot of work. It was work for us as officers. But I think it was one of the most... we're AIEs in many MMOs. And I've seen what other guilds have done in other MMOs. It was a very well-rounded event. Now, I think there's things that Pell wants to tune up about it. It had a lot of work. It's tough to be really perfectly fair, which is difficult in a contest. But just the variety of going through that and each week having new things and everybody getting together, I thought it was cool.
It was, indeed.
Indeed.
It was a lot of stuff.
Yeah, it was. It's a lot of stuff. And I know this time last year we were saying, you know, things are moving slow. I hope they pick up the content. They promised this rapid release cycle. Hopefully they're going to be able to meet that. And I think by the end of the year, BioWare more than delivered, which I really appreciate.
Well, yeah. You know what? I sit here and I think about, you know, the Amazing Race kind of deal is probably best run when, you know, like we always talk about with WoW, you know, when they waiting for that next expansion to come out, everybody's like, oh, what do we do? And then they start splitting off to other games. That's a good time to run the Amazing Race.
Yeah. Yeah. If anybody's interested in that Amazing Race, I'll put in the show notes which episodes we talked about it most, but maybe we'll even talk about it more if people have questions on how that was set up and how other guilds could sort of run that, because I think it is a highlight. Maybe we'll turn it into a segment at some point. We can have our guild master, Pelel, come on.
He could come on and have a segment on how to do your own Amazing Race.
That would be interesting.
First, drink lots of liquor.
Yes.
And then start writing it up.
what guild event does not have that as an instruction?
Well, you know what I actually thought about doing the other night was every time I got a kill on Galactic Starfighter, taking a drink.
That would be an interesting evening.
I would be like totally sober at the end of the evening.
Well, Max makes me sober because he steals all my kills.
You talk about me crying about kill stealing.
Max makes me sober.
Max makes me sober.
Well, you know, when Max has 11 kills and I have 11 assists, you have to wonder.
Oh, yeah, you pull in. Just before this, you said, oh, look, I pulled down 14. You know, I do find that when we're not flying together in a group, that I'll get more kills if I go fly solo or, like, go do solo matches. Because I think, yeah, we fly together. We cover each other. But as a result, we're getting less kills. And again, kills don't matter. But
yeah,
still,
we're still counting them.
They only matter in podcasts and for bragging rights.
Epine, yes, this is true.
It only matters to give each other a hard time about.
Yes.
Right. All right. Well, I did want to sort of wrap up this segment with saying thank you to BioWare. Thank you to all of the heads of the development teams. Eric Musco, I think, was a great addition to the past year in running the community. And I hope he sticks around. I know we've got he and Courtney still running. So thanks, guys. Thanks for all your hard work. And we hope to talk to you more next year. Well, little EPC 18 here is filled up and we are ready to go. Thanks for listening. For comments or questions, we can be found on Twitter at MaxTheGray and at AIECMA and at AIEMachia, MACHIA. Or drop in on Jedi Covenant and ask any of us for an invite. Our character names will be in the show notes. For AIE Guild information, you can visit aie-guild.org or find us on Facebook or Google+ at AIE SWTOR. And we will talk to you later.
Good night.
Good night.
Ha ha ha.